Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for visiting our sponsors and supporters. We ask you to, again, remember to just tell them that you heard about them on the radio show. I'm just going to say, my name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Jeffrey Yodem.
Alan Hare.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
And as you heard, our mayor, Jeff Odom, is on the show this week. He was able to make time here. By the way, just to clarify, we did invite Holly Rabbi last week, and he was unable to make it. He had other commitments, he said. So, Jeff, thank you for coming. I appreciate your
Thanks for having me. Setting
time aside.
Would you introduce yourself, kind of give us your background, and then we're going to ask you some questions.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Jeffrey Odom, mayor of the city of New Bern. I have been in that position since August of 2022. Prior to that, I was an alderman for 9 years, represented Ward 6, and did not have any involvement with local government before I ran for election. I tell people oftentimes I wasn't quite sure what I got myself into, but it's been extremely rewarding. New Bern is my hometown, born and raised here, along with my wife, Jeannie, raising our son, Gavin. I've lived here my whole life. Oftentimes, people of my age, they may be born and raised here, but then they went away, and then they, you know, maybe find their way back, but we've stayed here the whole time, and I decided to give back to my community and did so by running for office, and had a great time doing it, and hoping for another 4 years.
Okay, very good. Appreciate your being here, and I know that in the last 4 years you've accomplished a lot of things. It's funny, I was totally amazed just to zero in on one thing, that Martin Marietta Park is I'm not sure how that happened, but thank you for having that happen.
Yeah, it's a bit of a long story, but to try to make it quick, we had an idea about making that a regional park, and the city owned the lagoons that were in the area, but we did not own the land. And we asked Martin Marietta leadership to come in, and we had a meeting several years ago and asked them what their plans were, and they said they didn't really have any. So we pitched our idea of a regional park, and then they said, well, are you guys interested in buying it? And I looked at them and I said, no, we want you to give it to us. And it was a interesting look that I got back from some of those vice presidents. But they said, well, you know, what's in it for us? And I said, well, you know, you guys come to a community, you do your thing, and you want to leave a legacy behind. And you know, we talked about naming the park after them, and it took a couple weeks. They called us back and said, hey, look, we like your vision, we like your idea, we will donate the land. So everything that you have seen currently at Martin Marietta Park has all been done through grant funding with some in-kind work from our city staff. So no City of New Bern taxpayer dollars have been spent for everything that you see there now. We did pass a bond referendum on the last election in October, and that will include the final build out of all the various phases of Martin Marietta Park, which is going to be a really special place.
What do you think is the most important change that you have brought to the city since you took office?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you start trying to pinpoint on one particular thing. And I think, you know, when you look back at the history of New Bern, our housing authority has been one of those challenged areas. For those that don't know, the housing authority is a completely separate entity. The only tie with the local housing authority and the city of New Bern is the mayor, by right, by statute, appoints the members of the housing authority. Other than that, it's called the City of New Bern Housing Authority, but it really is not a department of the city of New Bern. It's just that connection with the appointment power. But, you know, I felt very strongly about putting the right people. Some have been controversial, to be honest with you, but putting the right people to do the job and taking the heat that came along with some of those appointments. But I can tell you the housing authority right now in the city of New Bern is in the best position it's probably ever been in. You know, with the redevelopment plans that's upcoming, with taking care of their residents. Of course, you're always going to have crime in different parts of your city, but housing authorities are challenged when it comes to that. But our crime is lower. We've got great involvement with our police department. So I think the transition and the advancements we've made with the housing authority have been extremely positive, and there's a tremendous plan that sits ahead of us. It's called the CNI, the Choice Neighborhoods Initiative Transformation Plan, and it's going to bring about $100 million worth of investment to that part of the city. And it's much needed, and it's going to improve housing, not only for the residents there, but for other people who are looking for workforce and market rate housing as well.
Will that help bring down the cost of housing in New Bern?
It should, for sure, because what will happen is for every unit of public housing that is in Trent Court right now, there will be three times that amount of new housing built. So it's a one-for-one replacement. So anybody that lives in Trent Court right now, by right, has the ability to move back to the new redeveloped Trent Court. In addition to that, there will be another third of housing that is called workforce housing. So teachers, firefighters, policemen who are on a, you know, lower type salary, it's subsidized to help them afford it. And then the last third of those new units will be market rate housing. So if a two-bedroom apartment in New Bern is going for $2,000 a month, and that's what it's going to go for in that facility as well. So the concept from HUD is you don't put all your poverty together. You don't centralize that. You mix the income up. So you have people that are paying $2,000 a month, and you have some people that are paying $200 a month in the same unit right next to each other.
Now, I know right now when you're talking about that housing thing, there's so many different agencies involved that need to be coordinated. Thank you for coordinating so many of these agencies, because you're dealing not only with the housing authorities, with federal authorities, with the I guess historic complaints or.
Yep, you've got the Trent Court falls within the Historic Preservation Commission's area, so they have a say in it. You have FEMA involved, because FEMA's helping fund some of the redevelopment aspects since it was flooded during Hurricane Florence. You've got SHPO, which is the State Historic Preservation Office, so they have guidelines you have to follow. And then, of course, you have HUD, who ultimately, you know, owns the building, and they say what's going to happen there on that property. So there's a lot of finger-pointing back and forth between those different agencies, but finally we've got to a point where we're almost ready to start pulling the trigger on these projects.
So this is going to be a federally subsidized ongoing housing issue.
It will be. So the public housing of old is gone. That model is no longer what HUD uses. HUD utilizes a different model, and this is what we're moving toward, which is a third is kind of what we call it with the mixed use housing.
And how will that affect, say, property taxes for the rest of New Bern?
They're tax exempt. So it's government, it's owned by government, just like Trent Court is now. Okay. So there will be no property tax. So it's these are all rentals too. They're not for people to own. Mm-hmm. So it'll be rental units.
Okay, good. So I'd like to ask you, the big question I have is, what are the major differences between you and Holly? Why would we vote for you?
Yeah, that's a great question, and there are definitely stark differences between me and my opponent. For one, as I mentioned earlier, lifelong New Bernian, I understand the community. New Bern is a special place. For those who weren't born here and you've moved here, you made that choice because you obviously thought New Bern was special. And New Bern is special and unique in a lot of ways, and oftentimes we get compared to other cities. You know, there may be a new program or something that may start across the state, and somebody says, well, why doesn't New Bern do that? Well, we don't do that for a reason, because we're unique here on a lot of aspects. And I think knowing this community is very important, because there's certain things that we already know won't work. Not that we're against it and we're closed-minded, but the fact that maybe we've tried it before, and I've been here and I've seen some of those things that we've tried that didn't work. And so to have that historical knowledge versus coming into this, Mr. Raby, my opponent, I think he moved to New Bern 20 some years ago. He's a pastor, and I've commended him for that. That's certainly a calling that you have upon your life to do that work in the ministry, and I commend them for doing that. He was also a Marine. But to translate that into mayoral duties and what we do from a business standpoint, I mean, I sit around the table with developers all the time who are interested in coming to New Bern to make investments. And in order to have that business background, which I do, I've worked for the same company for 28 years now. And I've had those conversations where I've been the person on the other side of the table trying to make that investment in a different community and understanding how that works. There's so many things when it comes to local government with the different nuances. State of North Carolina is an extremely conservative state when it comes to economic development. There's certain things we can't do in the state. It's not allowed. That's the reason you saw BMW go to South Carolina. That's the reason you see a lot of these big manufacturers and big employers go to other states, because we're extremely conservative. However, there are ways to work around that. The Harris Teeter Shopping Center in New Bern, the New Bern Marketplace, where Hobby Lobby is located, Ulta, some of those stores. That was the first time in the history of the city of New Bern that we have ever done a economic development incentive incentive package for that developer. And what we did, we sat down, we ran the numbers, we looked at it and said, you know, this is definitely a positive move for the city. The return on our investment, we had planned it being about 7 years, and it came in actually about half of that. So we got our return a lot quicker than we were originally planning on. And the way we partner with them is we require sidewalks, for example, to be built with new developments. So they came to us and said, look, this requirement that you have for us to build sidewalks is going to cost us, let's just say, $500,000. What can you do to help us? So the city of New Bern, based off North Carolina law, we can't just give a developer money. That's illegal. But what we can do is reimburse them for investments that's made in infrastructure in the public right-of-way, for example. So the $500,000 sidewalk that they built, we were able to reimburse them for that. So it's something that the public can enjoy, but it also helped them meet the criteria that they needed to meet with their financial aspects for the job. So that's one example. And I think experience, I've been saying through this whole campaign, experience matters. His slogan is a proven leader in different aspects of life is much different than being a proven leader when it comes to local government. And the only proven leader is someone who has had the position. And I've had the position for 3 years as mayor and then 9 years as alderman prior to that. There's no on-the-job training with me. December 9th, when the new board is sworn in, I fully expect to be there, and we'll continue the work that we're doing right now.
A follow-up question I have. I've been hearing a lot in the past couple of years about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I have read that Pastor Raby is in favor of that. And I would like what your opinion is on hiring. Do you feel that it should be the best person for the job, or that we should have pre-qualifiers for hiring?
Yeah, I believe that it needs to be the best person for the job. Obviously, there are prerequisites for certain jobs. We did something, the previous board, we banned the box, and that's kind of a famous term where on our job applications, it would ask if you were convicted of a felony, and that would immediately rule you out from being considered. Well, certain positions, that makes sense. Like if you were convicted of a white-collar financial crime, we don't want you working in our finance department, so that makes sense. However, if you were convicted of, a small misdemeanor or felony, and, we need somebody to work in our water department, and you're not around other people, that made sense. So we made that change to make it more open. And, when you look at our leadership within the city, you look at our department heads, our assistant city manager is a minority, our director of HR, she's a minority. We have several minorities in leadership positions at the city. So I do feel like we've got a great staff, and that's because we chose the best people for the job.
That's the right answer. It should be the best people for the job.
And yes, you're competing on an equal footing.
Yep.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
CCTA Wake Up Call airs Saturday at 6 a.m. and some days at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. on WTKF 107.1.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you wanted to...
Yeah, I have a question for Jeff. It has to do with a general kind of notion. What we've been seeing in this country for years is that cities tend to gravitate towards the left or towards, as we see now in New York, socialist kind of ideas, and whereas the rural areas seem to stay more conservative and so on. And I was wondering whether, you know, your view of that and what you've been able to do or think you could do in the future to try to keep New Bern to be a neutral place and not become one of these socialist, pardon my French, hellholes like Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and I could keep going on and on. So that's my question.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And one thing that I've prided myself on is local City of New Bern elections are nonpartisan. The alderman, the mayor race is nonpartisan. That's one of the reasons why I think the election takes place in an odd off year when there's no other elections taking place is to have that separation. However, as you all know, everything has become partisan more and more each and every day. And I think, you know, based off of people's party affiliations, that's obviously public, that's public knowledge. And those have been used, they've been used for some people and they've been used against some people. For example, today, somehow now I, as the mayor of the City of New Bern, is the reason why the SNAP benefits are going to stop for North Carolina residents on November the 1st.
Well,
I saw a post about that on Facebook today when the City of New Bern and city government has nothing to do with that. You know, at the county level, they have some involvement with social service issues, but the city does not. But I think, Alan, to answer your question, the reason you're seeing that is you're seeing a lot of transplants from other areas, and they come here, and oftentimes when they're building in a new development, new developments are typically within the city limits. And the reason that's the case is because they need our water and sewer. And if it's a swath of land that's outside of the city limits, but it's going to be developed for new housing, they come to the city, they petition us and say, we need your water and sewer. Part of our agreement with them is, yes, we'll provide that. However, you have to ask to be annexed into the city. So that helps grow our tax base, but that also brings a lot of people that aren't from the area. And oftentimes their politics are different from what you would see, you know, countywide. The county is certainly extremely conservative. You can look back at history and see that. The city, not so much. The city's much more purple. I don't think it's blue, but it's much more purple. But what I've done personally is always tried to keep the partisan aspect out of the politics when it comes to City of New Bern elections.
A question, Jeff, you're talking about the increase into the developments and the people, the developers wanting the water and sewer. We live out in the Bryce's Creek area, and we just, in the last couple of years, got city water. The water pressure out there is horrible. Mm-hmm. So how can the city continue to approve new developments when there's existing developments with water problems?
Yeah, I'd love to get that information because I haven't received many complaints about the water pressure. So we actually have water capacity that will extend out for the next 20 years based off of our projections. So there could be some issues there. Oftentimes it's like electricity. Sometimes people say, well, my electricity went out. You know, we've got, you know, some infrastructure issues when you find out there's a squirrel climbed into the transformer box and shorted it out. So there could be an issue that we could take a look at.
Well, I think the real answer there is, the only place in Bryce's Creek that's city is Blue Water Rise, and the water low pressure is in the county. It's not in the city.
Okay. All right. That's certainly possible. So, yeah, the county has their water system. The city has our water system. And our capacity, like I said, we're projected to be good for the next 20 years. We have a new water plant that we built. It was before my time in office. I'm going to say it was probably late 2000s. And it's a state-of-the-art facility, and it's geared to handle what we need for future growth for the next couple of decades.
Yeah, just to follow up what you were saying a minute ago, Jeff, about the fact that in a lot of the cities that have moved towards more leftist socialist ideas, there's a lot of influx of people from outside of the city itself, outside of the area. Have you noticed, do you have any information on the number of immigrants, particularly illegal immigrants, so on, have come into New Bern? Has that been a problem like it's been in some of the other cities, and you know, particularly the sanctuary cities, mm-hmm. which is they've been havens for these people?
Yeah, not to my knowledge. I mean, we certainly have our fair share of challenges within the city limits. Oftentimes it's, you know, unemployed folks who are, you know, stealing things to, you know, keep up with a habit that they may have, or there is certainly gang violence. We've talked about that for the last several years. New Bern is not unlike any other city in the area. Greenville, Kinston, Goldsboro, they have gang issues as well. The issue with our crime when it comes to gang violence, which is, I guess, the silver lining of that, is it's targeted. There's not these random acts of violence that's taking place throughout the city, and it's mostly in certain neighborhoods, and police are aware of that. We installed some new technology, something called ShotSpotter, that we put into place, and it has drastically cut down on our gunfire, gun crimes within the city, because as soon as that trigger is pulled, immediate notification goes out to everybody on that list, and our PD is able to respond instantaneously.
Responding before a call's made.
Yeah, because oftentimes there's gunfire and there's not a call made, and this keeps that from happening.
Is it an audible thing?
It is audible, and it is managed by a third party. And when they hear it, they can actually tell the difference between a gunshot versus a car backfiring or fireworks. It's very advanced technology, and it's been great for us in the city to help curb some of that.
You know, one of the things that I ran across, understanding your being the mayor and understanding how to work within the rules and the laws of municipalities and how to run businesses or whatever else, I notice a big difference between and being a churchgoer, that sometimes the pastor of a church is the leader of volunteer workforce, whereas a mayor is, you don't necessarily have a volunteer workforce that can go and walk away and to anywhere else. So yes, I understand that you work with the others, the departments and the offices within the county, and yes, you're constrained by state and county and municipal rules, regulations.
This may seem like a small issue to everybody else, but not to me. Raby's signs are oversized. He's been told repeatedly that they're the wrong size, that he should take them down. And he sloughs it off. He hasn't taken them down. Every time I drive by one of these oversized signs, it makes me angry. And to me, as former law enforcement, anybody that has that much disregard for the rules and for the law is a no vote.
Yes, I mean, that's certainly a challenge. When you're in a campaign, especially when you don't have experience in running a campaign, there are a lot. I mean, when you go to file for office, there's all kind of paperwork you have to fill out. You have to have a treasurer that's certified. But they give you a packet of information, and part of that information is sign regulations. And it's very clear on the size and location and timing of when you can put up political signs. And that's something that, you know, if it were up to me, I wish all signs would be illegal. Like, it clutters up your city. It doesn't look good. I just hate them. But it's one of those things that if you don't put your signs out there, because this is an example in this race, you know, I kept hearing from people, I don't see any of your signs. I see so many of your opponents, and I have to remind them, signs don't vote. People do. And, you know, we want to make sure that we stay focused on engaging with our voters and making sure they know how to contact us and answer questions they may have. To me, that's far more important than putting, you know, 15 signs on the side of the highway. But
yeah,
you're right. When somebody is notified that something is wrong and they don't address it, that is a concern.
Yeah, I ran for office myself and paid strict attention to all the rules. And so when I see somebody sloughing them off like that, it just tells me that when they get into office, they're not going to be scrupulous about going by the rules. And that is a big issue to me.
And I think it's just the signs are one sign, no pun intended. I guess there is pun intended with that one, but I think that's just an example of not having the experience. And, you know, I've heard my opponent throughout this campaign talk about things that he would do differently. For example, he says if he was elected, he's not going to vote on every issue. He'll only vote if there's a case of a tie. He doesn't have that authority, because that requires the state charter or our city charter to be changed and authorized by our state representative. So if that's something that you wanted to champion, then you certainly can do that, but you've got to get the rest of your board to go along with it. It has to then be sent to Raleigh. They have to pass it through legislation, and then that would change how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I do know in direct relation to that, when you took office, I know that you changed the voting sequence so that the various aldermen voted before the mayor voted. So you were not, even though it looks like a superior office, that you weren't going to influence somebody else's vote. You gave them that opportunity to vote.
Yeah, it's up to the mayor on how that is conducted. That's one of the, the job responsibilities of being the mayor is you conduct the meeting. And Mayor Outlaw, who was my predecessor, he would start with Ward 1 and go to Ward 6. And then on the next issue, he would start at Ward 6 and go to Ward 1. And he would always vote in the middle. And what that would do is that would put your Ward 1 alderman or your Ward 6 alderman either setting the tone for the vote or either breaking a tie potentially. And that was one thing I said during the campaign last time, that if I got elected as mayor, I would change that and I would always vote last. And it's ironic that that's been one of the issues that's been brought up during this campaign, is that the mayor shouldn't have a vote in every issue. But the reality is my vote is last. It doesn't influence anything. So if I'm voting on something and it's a tie, I would be voting on a tie anyway. So
I have one more concern. I saw on Facebook where Raby was asking the people who went to the No Kings,
Demonstration.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I went blank there for a minute. That's a nice word for what happened, that he wants them to vote for him. And that infers to me that he intends to be mayor for the Democrats, not a mayor for everybody.
Yeah, we've got the 2-minute warning, so I'll try to say as much as I can here in the short period of time. So he said that was not him. That was a supporter that logged that particular post on Facebook that, you know, he said he wants to be the mayor of all people. But I pushed back on that because, you know, if you go to the Craven County Democrat Party Facebook page, you know, his face and his banner was their banner. And I said, you can't do that. Like, sure, you can if you want to, but I think that gives a bad message. It gives a message that you are going to be the mayor for, you know, one half of the city, not the other half. And I made sure that, you know, I don't do that. I always, as I said earlier, I try to keep partisan politics out of it. But I mentioned to you, you know, the Facebook post that was blaming me for the government shutdown, somehow trying to tie me to, you know, what's going on in Washington, D.C. But interestingly enough, I got sent a text message from a supporter today that received a text message from supposedly Mr. Raby, because the beginning of the text message said, "Hello, this is Holly Raby, your candidate for mayor." And it begins to talk about how Jeffrey Odom is the MAGA candidate and he's taken away SNAP benefits from New Bernians.
Oh,
and I showed that to Mr. Raby this morning and he told me that was not him, that he was not aware of that. But I told him he probably wants to get a hold of that when somebody says, "This is Holly Raby," because if somebody said, "This is Jeffrey Odom," we'd have a problem.
Right.
And I guess the only thing I would say about that response is, as a candidate, you're responsible for proper protocol with your constituents, even though you can't control them. But you can say, "I don't like that, and that shouldn't be done. And please respect my campaign and not do those things."
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you wanted to ask another question?
Yes, just one more question, Jeff, and that has to do with, your experience. You've been a mayor now, and you were an alderman, and I'm sure there's been a lot of things you've been involved with. And I was just wondering if you have any plans or projects or things you would like to see accomplished during your next term as mayor. And maybe that would be useful to tell people what those might be.
Sure. Yeah, there's I've shared throughout the campaign here, there are a few developments and a few new businesses that are very eager, very interested in looking to come here. We've met with them. They're not ready to release who they are yet, so I'll give you a little cliffhanger with those. But I think people will be pleasantly surprised when that information does become public. But, some things that certainly are public would be the projects all associated with the bond referendum. So we had three bond referendums that passed. Overwhelmingly, actually, in our last election in October, one for stormwater, one for parks and recreation, and then one for streets. And so all those had specific projects associated with them. And going through that bond referendum project or process, we are statutorily and legally required to do those projects. So it's not like we can say, okay, well, the public approved $10 million for these projects, but we don't want to do those. We want to do something else. So the good thing is a lot of those projects are already outlined. We already have our roadmap on how we're going to be spending that money over the next, 7 to 10 years. So that's definitely, we've got our work cut out for us. We've got the funding now because the public approved that. So now we're going to move forward with those projects. But, sort of to wrap back up on something we talked about earlier with the Housing Authority, one of the biggest projects is going to be that redevelopment of Trent Court. I mentioned earlier it was going to be a $100 million investment in redevelopment, but it includes three different sites. One of them includes the old Days Inn Hotel site right there in Five Points. One of them includes the old F.R. Daniel School, which has been vacant for quite a bit of time. So the Housing Authority is working with the Craven County School System on acquiring that and turning that building into, this affordable housing model with the a third type housing. And I believe that people have to have somewhere to live. Sure, you have to have a job, but you have to have somewhere to live. And I think that really starts getting down to the basics of addressing a need within the community, and that is housing. And the good thing is the city of New Bern's not technically involved. We're not putting money involved in this because the city usually doesn't get involved with housing. Just like we mentioned earlier, there's some social service type issues. There's education, things that the city municipal governments in North Carolina are typically not involved with. And that's kind of the way I'd like to keep it. The least involved government that you can have, usually the better things work. But, that's going to be a really big public type project. But, when you think about the private sector, we've had some tremendous expansion with some of our existing industry, Moen, Bosch. Bosch just announced, I think, 100 new jobs that's coming from a plant that they closed in another state that's coming here. You look at White River Marine Group that purchased Hatteras Yachts. millions, tens of millions of dollars worth of investment in their facility there. And I think what you've seen is not necessarily the big headline where, you know, a new battery manufacturer is coming to New Bern and they're hiring, you know, 400 new people. But what you have seen is consistent, steady growth amongst our employers that are already here. And that number somewhere around 1,800 over the past decade, and that's since the C1A, which is the Craven 100 Alliance. That is a public-private partnership where the city of New Bern, the city of Havelock, and the county of Craven merged and joined together with the private sector. And we have a board of directors, and the private sector has one more member, so they hold the majority on that to keep the public side out of it. And that also allows some flexibility with some of these economic development deals, like I talked about earlier, where we're limited as a government entity on what we can do to attract businesses here. When you have a public-private partnership, those funds are kept separately. So the dues that the city and the county pays in are kept separately from the dues that the private sector comes in to play. So when somebody comes to town and says, look, I really want to locate here, but I need a building or I need some money, you've got that C1A that's able to really act quickly and pull the trigger and take the government bureaucracy out of it, which has been a very good model for us over the past decade.
Yeah, that makes things happen much quicker, as you said. Yeah.
Do we know when the work on 70 will be completed, and how will that impact the city? Are there areas of 70 that the city owns that businesses might come to?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about James City is not within the city limits. You don't get really into the city limits once you pass the Twin Span Bridge until you start getting to your Taberna, your Carolina Color areas. There's some spots here or there where somebody may have had a septic system in the past and it failed and now they're on city sewer and they asked to be annexed. So there's some situations like that. But I think the biggest area of opportunity for growth is going to be where the mall sits. Everybody always asks about the mall. It's obviously not what we would like for it to be, but malls anywhere in the country aren't really what they used to be. And I think that the mall is paid for. It's privately owned. City has no ownership in that whatsoever. But I believe through conversations with the mall ownership is once the I-42 corridor is complete, that value is going to be a lot higher than it is today. And you'll either see them do some redevelopment there or you'll see them sell it and another company come in and do some redevelopment. I will tell you that I personally reached out to the CEO of Tanger Outlet Malls. They're based out of the Triad in North Carolina, and all but begged and groveled for them to come work a deal out with the mall. I said it would be great for you to have a Tanger Outlet Mall right there. I know it would do great. You're halfway between Raleigh and the coast. And they did give us a look, but we just don't have the population density that they need whenever they make that investment. So, you know, but I do think that once the interstate gets complete, that will be a tremendous area of redevelopment is where the mall is currently.
Actually, from my perspective, I think the whole mall will become a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. It's busy.
Well, you talked about the incorporation of an old school site in with the housing. To me, there's probably an opportunity for other school sites to be coming available. And not, hey, I'm a county taxpayer.
Sure.
And so it could be interesting how that concept might play out other places if there could be some cooperation. I don't know.
I think it all goes back to having those relationships. You know, if you think about the Volt Center that the city owns that we partnered with the federal government through an EDA grant. We partner with NCDOT to do some highway improvements. We partner with Craven County because, you know, they help fund and manage the finances for Craven Community College. We've got the college there now. Yeah. The workforce development, I mean, that has been a huge success story. Dr. Statz, the president of the college, will tell you he's being asked to go all over the place to talk about the success of that entity. And I think that goes back to having the relationships and the knowledge and the experience that it takes to know what can be done.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great example of what can be done. And I think this F.R. Daniel School is going to be another one when it's all said and done with, where you take an old dilapidated school that's structurally sound, but it needs a lot of work. You don't want, you know, the state or the county to be investing millions of dollars in something like that when you have HUD funding that is designed for something like that. So yeah. I think it's going to be a positive force as well.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sounds good.
And we, you know, we look at a lot of things like the railroad and again the infrastructure of this roadway 70 coming through to make it more feasible for items to get from Morehead City through the rest of the state. Mm-hmm. I guess yes, we're inconvenienced right now, and the city is slightly off to the side of that that development, but yet the city is also directly involved in it too.
Well, when you think about the railroad, I mean, there's not many cities that have a active railroad line right through the middle of one of your main streets downtown.
And I realize it's antiquated, but yet it is so comforting.
I love it.
Comforting.
It's that unique, another unique aspect of New Bern.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens when 70 becomes 42. And they are working on improving 17 between here and Virginia Beach. When you do that, you have created a whole industrial corridor thing going between some pretty important ports. And I think that will be very interesting. They're already working when you get up. My geography, North Carolina geography, is not that good. But we've watched them on 17 going north create four-lane highway instead of two-lane highway in a lot of it.
Yeah, a lot of construction going on in this area.
There is. I tell people it's, you know, short-term headache for a long-term gain. I mean, once this construction in James City gets through, you know, you will see a lot more development. I mean, I think we've lost a KFC, we lost a McDonald's, we lost a couple gas stations. There's a lot of commercial businesses that we lost along this corridor, and there's a lot of interest. I mean, we've talked to some of those developers, and when they come to town, I always try to push and steer them over here on this side because that's where they need to be investing. But they're like, we would love to, but we've just got to wait for that construction to get through because we can't come in and sink millions of dollars in not knowing, you know, how you actually get to our business until that gets settled.
Yeah, we need another good restaurant on this side of the bridge.
Now that Cracker Barrel has settled their thing, we need a good old Cracker Barrel.
Need a Camping World with a big flag.
I reached out to them when they were having their issue in Greenville, and I sent the CEO an email, and I said, hey, look, you won't have that issue in New Bern because our flag ordinance allows the American flag for whatever size you want to fly. You can do it.
So. That's to our neighbors to the north.
You know, we are in fact, a bedroom and recreational outlet for Cherry Point from Marine Corps Air Station, and a lot of expansion here is also available to Cherry Point folks. Sure.
And a lot of the people that have retired here have been because of the military. They were stationed here or in Jacksonville or someplace else and just really liked the area. But we want to keep it a nice, good old hometown area.
And I think that's the one good thing about New Bern. I mean, we've grown about 10% since the last census, which is, it's not a lot. I think that's very manageable. And, you know, when you look at our downtown, which everybody talks about as the jewel of New Bern, there's not a lot of area that you're going to grow downtown. So our growth is coming on the extremities of town, which allows us to keep that small town feel, just like our summer concert series in Union Point Park.
That is incredible.
We're having over 6,000 people attend these free concerts. And, you know, you still have that neighborly feel when you get through there.
Absolutely.
And you can go grab a bite to eat and then go home. And, you know, you can drive away to get to these newer housing developments that are outside of the city a little bit.
I just wanted to comment, Jeff, on how impressed I've been with your talk today, because I was thinking earlier, you know, what is the importance of having someone who's been an alderman who then becomes mayor, and you've had both of those experiences. But it's clear from your knowledge of what's been going on and your knowledge, detailed information about it, that, you know, you're ready to start on day one to continue what you've been doing. And that is so critical to have the history and the background of these things to continue them instead of starting from scratch.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to head off in a different direction. Pat, you wanted to take us somewhere.
Jeff, I read this morning that there are hundreds of TikTok videos out there from people that rely on food stamps who are threatening to descend upon Walmart and other grocery stores and start shoplifting or creating violence to steal the groceries. And I'm wondering if the city of New Bern is braced for any of that.
Yeah, my advice would be is to don't do that.
Don't.
There are certainly resources. New Bern is a very giving community. You know, we've got some great nonprofits that are out there that will help with this. RCS is obviously the first one that always comes to mind. They do such a great job. But there are a lot of churches. There's the Food Bank of NC that's here. So there are resources for people that need help. I would highly advise anyone not to seek a violent path if you are in need of something. Both the New Bern Police Department and the Craven County Sheriff's Office work very closely together. And for those of you that know our sheriff, he will not tolerate that type of activity, and neither will our police chief and our police staff.
Well, that's good to know, because the Democrats have made it a partisan issue, and that just revs up the anger issue.
It does. And, you know, that's the reason that I love local government so much. People ask me all the time, what are you going to do next? And I'm like, you know what, if I win this election, if I'm fortunate enough to lead for the next 4 years, the city of New Bern, that may be it for me, because I can tell you, campaigns are extremely tiresome. You can ask my wife and son, they're emotional roller coasters. One day you think you're doing great, the next day you think you're losing them in a landslide. And it's just the mental toll that it takes. And, you know, that's just for a city of New Bern mayor race. I mean, I can't imagine doing that at a higher level. But, you know, I just believe that we need to look at issues on their own merit. Because I could sit down with just about anything and I could find blame and I could point fingers at one side or the other. But instead of that, you know, sit down and figure out how you're going to work it out. And that's the problem that you see in Washington, D.C., is everybody wants to blame somebody. Nobody wants to fix the problem. They just want to use this as political capital to say, well, you know, if we can hold out a little bit longer, it's going to hurt the other side in the midterms, versus looking at the people that's actually affecting and coming up with answers and solutions.
I agree.
And, you know, you see this issue that you brought up, Pat, about people being so desperate and frustrated that they would actually consider committing crimes. You know, when you're doing this Marxist kind of involvement where the federal government is supplying these benefits to so many people throughout the country, and something goes wrong at the federal level, it affects, like, what is it, 42 million people on the food stamp program. I call it food stamp. They call it SNAP, whatever that stands for. But anyway, but all of a sudden, one decision at one point affects the lives of 42 million. Whereas historically, when assistance to people who needed it was done locally, you had backup. You had a system in place where people could actually get support from their neighbors or churches or under other groups at the local level. You didn't have this tremendous national impact. But, you know, you can sympathize with the people. If they're dependent on that money to for their food every week and feed their children, you can understand the frustration they'd have.
Alan, I came across a statistic in my research recently that 59% of the people that are collecting food stamps were not born here.
That's where I was headed, Mary. I think it's important for everybody to realize that as bad as this shutdown is, what it's about. And this shutdown is about continuing benefits that were installed during COVID, and it's restoring some of the health care for the illegals and the food benefits for the illegals. This is to undo some of the big, beautiful bills that was passed. This continuing resolution had been passed by the same Democrats 13 times prior to this. So it's definitely a political agenda, and it is to place the blame and the hurt, and the people that are being damaged need to understand what's behind this, because it is not about them. It is about these illegals.
And some of the sunsetting that is in the laws was passed. The sunsets were passed under a Democrat Congress that now they want to resurrect it. And
a lot of that Obamacare stuff was supposed to sunset, and that's one of the things that they are holding out on.
Well, I think, too, one of the reasons that the Democrats have chosen to do this is because President Trump was having a fairly good run of successes, and they were running out of ways to throw a wrench in the works.
Well, when you saw the list that our favorite Louisiana senator had put out, it's incredible that Joe Average wouldn't be pissed off at what some of that money was earmarked for.
And again, the money that goes to the NGOs, there's all kinds of slush in there. And if you look at the NGOs, in many cases, you will find out that a daughter or a wife or a close relative of a congressman is heading up an NGO with a salary above $500,000 a year.
Or a kickback to a campaign.
It will be very interesting at the end of this month, I believe, even with the government shut down, that the campaign reports have to come out. It will be very interesting to see what the Democrat campaign coffers are.
And I think
because USAID has been ended.
But it's incredible also that our president has been able to maneuver funds to keep the military paid. And I heard on the news today that there have been several multi-million dollar donations made to help keep the military.
Yes. I want to see the election campaign donation report for the four rhinos that voted down the tariff on Brazil.
Yes, it would be very interesting to see where their money is coming from.
Yeah, all the other countries that have tariffs, aren't they going to run to them and say, would you vote on our tariff too? Here's some money.
But, you know, you see the actual impact of when you move towards a Marxist kind of thinking in the country, which is where we're heading in some places. And it's just the idea that the government, the people get more and more dependent on the government. So what do the politicians do to get elected? They come out and they promise more free things.
Or make you more dependent.
Look at Mamdani up in New York City. he's coming out and said, well, we're going to have free groceries. We're going to have, you know, government-run grocery stores. We're going to have free transportation.
Free daycare.
All this free stuff. So now there's people who are, some of them are struggling. Some of them are already dependent on the government. So somebody comes up and says, well, you're getting all this free stuff. We're going to give you more free stuff. That's hard for these people to resist.
Yeah, it's hard to vote against Santa Claus.
And you know,
well, that's exactly right. And that's, and we'll see what happens up in New York, But that's exactly what he's doing.
Well, Alan, you're saying that, you know, all the free stuff that they're getting, everything is going to be free stuff. But guess what? Your cup of coffee is going to be $130.
Yeah, if you have to pay for it.
That's right.
See, but you'll have to pay for it. But some of these people, they're going to have their SNAP card, and they won't have to pay for it.
There is a theory of economics that was developed in the 1960s called Cloward Piven. And the idea was a couple of Columbia professors who wanted to bring in socialism, and they decided that if they could collapse the safety net, that they could bring in socialism.
Overwhelm the system.
Yeah, overwhelm the system. And that is exactly what's being attempted now.
But if New York does elect Mondami and they do have this socialist and they do have this economic collapse, I don't think that our federal government will let them fail. And that's what scares me.
Depends on who's president.
Exactly.
Well,
Trump's already said he's going to cut off the funding.
But what happened with the banking? What happened with the automobiles? What happened with the solar panels? Yeah. I just don't believe for one minute that they won't get bailed out. I think they'll misbehave and oh well.
New York City almost went bankrupt during the 70s or 80s. I don't remember which decade.
And we bailed them out.
And the government didn't bail them out. They were bailed out by the major property holders and taxpayers in the city that paid their taxes in advance and allowed the city not to go under.
What happens when there aren't people to pay the taxes?
Well, that's what's going to happen because the real estate values around Palm Beach and Florida are already going up. And if he wins the election next week, I think you're going to see a lot of people that would be the millionaires to pay for this are going to say, I'm out of here.
We'll see. But you know, when they're looking at the polls, it still looks like he's got a fighting chance of winning.
Well, Cuomo is gaining. Cuomo is not a lot better. Unfortunately, Sliwa does not have a prayer. And even if Sliwa dropped out, Sliwa's voters are not going to show up and vote for Cuomo. If Cuomo drops out, I'm not sure his voters would show up and vote for Sliwa. Right. So it's just kind of basically a mess.
Well, you see with the socialists, they come out and they say, well, there's items in our lives that we need, and you have a right to them. They say it's a right now. For example, AOC up in New York, she keeps saying, well, health care is a right. I don't see it in the Constitution guaranteed by anybody.
Not in the Constitution.
And when you're doing that, healthcare, all right, how about sufficient food? That'll be a right. How about a decent place to live? Let's make that a right. This is where this keeps going. And unfortunately, you know, we have some politicians that don't believe in this stuff, but they go along with it.
I believe our rights come from God, not from the government.
We've been told that America is a nation of immigrants, which it is. But if you go back to the history of the immigrants who came and settled before the 1900s, they came with no safety net and the idea that they were going to have to find a way to make a living and feed their families and whatever. And all of us have ancestors that took jobs that we wouldn't even dream of because they wanted to be here. And unfortunately, the work ethic that came with the earlier immigrants is not what's coming with the current immigration. There are exceptions, but generally speaking, they're here for the benefits, not to earn a living.
And also, our ancestors generally wanted to assimilate into our system.
Yes.
Not to maintain their own system of laws and whatever.
And the thing is, and part of that is that culturally, they were similar to us. The people, most of the immigrants came from Europe. And Europe shared the same cultural traditions that we have when we moved over here, but they're coming from places in the world that don't share our cultural values.
But I don't put it all on the immigrants. We've got homegrown, a lot of homegrown socialists within our own boundaries.
You give out free stuff, and
that's what you're gonna get.
So I'd say this is a society challenge versus yes. It being an immigrant versus a national, but all of that plays in.
Mayor Jeff, I want to thank you for coming and being
Thanks
on the show.
Me.
Appreciate that. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call. You guys have a great week.
CCTA Wake Up Call airs Saturday at 6 a.m. and some days at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. on WTKF 107.1.